Okay, so we're learning Derech Hashem, and in the first section, the third parak, we'll quickly start from the beginning of paragraph 8 again, Ches. He described till now a balance between physical and spiritual, and Bechira, the choice of Adam Rishon, to choose spiritual, and thus reach Shleimus, and bond with Hashem, Lanetzach. And it was perfectly balanced. That was the original conception. V'chimen shechot adon, it changed everything. His chait, nishtanu hadvorim shinui gadol, it had a cataclysmic effect on the world. The Marishan was the world, and therefore his chait made a fundamental change. V'hu ki nei betchila hayu bebriya hachesrono shehayu, at first the briya. Because all of the creation follows mankind. Mankind is the main purpose of the Bria, and everything else follows its lead. So there were the chesroinus that it had, the physicality that it had, in order to create choice, and to create the perfect tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bestow. B'shir mashoyim etzarech, in whatever measure and degree it was necessary, l'shiyiya adam harishon, b'matzov hashikol shezacharnu, that it would be this balance and this choice. V'yeh lo mokum laharviyach es ha-shleimus b'yegiyah kapov, he would be able to achieve shleimus through his own efforts. And so that's the way it would be. But it wasn't necessarily an uphill battle. It was balanced, and he had a choice to make. And that was the way it was. Without getting into the question of Hashem knew what would happen and what was Hashem's game plan, but this is the original way the Bria was made. Amnam agadei cheto, because of his chet, so there was, it was a spiritual mabul. Everything changed after this, cataclysmic. Nosfu v'nisrabu ba'atzmo shalado u'bebria. In other words, if we look around, I don't think there's anybody that would say, yeah, I feel pretty much balanced between my physical side and my spiritual side. It's about 50-50. That sounds right. So I'm afraid it's almost a joke. It is a joke, but I want to be nice. I'll say it's almost a joke. We're probably 95% physical, and we feel spiritual. Maybe if we're having kavanah when we daven, and maybe on Yom Kippur, and maybe we do a mitzvah lishma, and we feel spiritual. So, you know, it's not, that's the way it is. That's the world post Adam HaRishon. It's not even anymore. A person and the Bria itself, because the Bria follows Adam HaRishon. The way Adam goes, so goes the Bria. And therefore, Nisrabu Hesoshronos, now it's almost completely physical. The Asmos itself, Ubebriya Kula. The Od, and so first of all, there's more, and it's not balanced anymore. But there's a deep thought, not especially deep. I understood it. So he says the following thought, but it's important in our daily lives to understand what he's saying here. He's saying originally it was balanced. Not only was it easier to become spiritual, and thus the spiritual would then have its effect on the physical, and we would bond with Hashem the way that's going to happen, Bezus Hashem, after Tchias HaMesim, Lanetzach, Lanetzach. Not only was it easier because it was balanced, but also since the flaws were not the fault of mankind, it was imposed upon him and the Bria because that's how Hashem made the world. So there is something, call it superficial, about the flaws, about the problems, about the physicality, because it's not inherent, because he didn't do anything to deserve it. Hashem imposed it upon him. It's like an outside force.
So not only is it, we would call that echus. You know, you have kamus is quantity, and echus is quality. So not only was the world quantitatively more equal, the good and the bad, you know, less bad quantitatively, but also qualitatively, the bad that was there, since it wasn't due to me, it's like, what do you want from me? You know, it's not my fault. This is the way Hashem made the Bria. But now, the flaws and the physicality and the problems are my fault, mankind's fault. And once it's my fault, right, what do we tell our children? You know, this is the way things are, and you know, you can't go to the wedding tonight because it's not for you. That's all that's built in. Okay, but when you say it's your fault, then it's much harder to climb out of that and to be able to get rid of the flaws and to be zocher to go, because you dug your own hole and now you have to climb out of it. That's a principle. Not only is the Ramchal describing like a lumdisha subtle point, but it really is a principle. And it's sad, but it's a truism. That when I create the mess I find myself in, it's much harder in the Bria. It's much harder to climb out of it. And we see that. This is really, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's really what it's saying. All I have to do is prevent something, so that's that much easier. The Gemara says it's much easier to prevent an immense, you know, sack full of a certain weight. Much easier to prevent it from falling, but once it falls, it takes a lot more strength to pick it up and put it back. And that's how the Bria is structured. And, you know, the consequence, you can't just do a chait and say, okay, I'm sorry, I'll just, let's go back to the way it was. I won't do it again. No, that's not the way the Bria works. You created a flaw, you created a problem, you dug a hole, and now you're in a hole, you messed up, and now you can't just go back to the way things were because you feel bad that you did something wrong and you won't do it again, I promise. No. You have to climb out of the situation that you created, and you have to climb out of it. Not only do you have to climb out of it because of what I just described, but you now have a two-step process the Ramchal is going to explain. You have to get back to where things were and then progress. I'm at this point, Hashem made the Bria here, and I have to progress and grow. Once I messed up and I'm not here anymore, but I'm here, so not only is it that much harder to get here because there's more work to do, and not only is it that much harder to get to here because it's conceptually more difficult because I created the problem and I have to dig myself out of it, but also now a third point is that it's more work because you can't jump, you can't skip a rung on the ladder. You first have to exert all of your efforts to get back to here, to get back to the way things were before you messed up, and then you continue on your journey. So that is, and that's what happened by other Marishon, but it's true about all of us. These are true principles in life. When we struggle and, you know, so should we be Messiah? No, because this is tshuva, and you always have Bechira. And no matter what situation you're in, no matter how badly we've messed up, we are told, like the Rambam, I love to say over this Rambam, and I say it over many, many times, the Rambam links the ability to do tshuva with Bechira. He says, since a person has Bechira, he has to do tshuva, he can do tshuva, which is an amazing boost, it's an amazing link. I could do tshuva because I have bechira. The door is not shut. I didn't mess up irrevocably. But I have bechira. It's a more arduous process. And it's easier, maybe you'll know what I'm talking about, it's easier to keep a house clean than once you made it dirty. You have to clean it up. And you can't just clean it all up the way you'd like it to be. You first have to get it back to the state it was in before it got dirty, and then you can make it shine the way you want it to. So that's what the Ramchal says. And it's true about saying it's not it shouldn't be depressing, because we always have Bechira, and Hashem promises us that we always have the ability. It's harder, it's more arduous, it's a more difficult task. It's going to now entail Misa. It's going to now entail death. Beforehand, it didn't entail death, because the physicality is so inherent in the Bria and in the person that a person now has to die, and the body has to decompose in order to be ultimately charged with spirituality that the neshama will charge it up with, right? The neshama has the koach to imbue the body. This is the Ramchal's viewpoint, and that's going to be after Tchias HaMesim. But before Adam HaRishon was Chote, you didn't need Misa. You know, it just happened right then and there. It would have happened, it could have happened, it should have happened. Now that he messed up so badly that Misa is necessary to rid the body of its inherent flaws. So that's what he really says in this paragraph and in the next paragraph. The old Niskasha Atikim Imasha, you called him now the Tikkun, is much harder, not just because it's not evenly balanced anymore. I mean, that's our experience, right? The world is 95% physical. That's our experience. And 5% spiritual. And I'm being charitable. Pirush, kine betchila, yenokal olosish menhavi chisaron. It was relatively easy, because it was an even choice. Lotzeis menhavi chisaron hamutbabo. The liknos hashlemus. And to fix the flaws and to be kone shlemus, and then bond with Hashem, etc., etc. Kach sidra hachokma hel yonas advarim. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu originally set it up. Al pi yamidas hatov hayosher, that's the ideal state. Why? Not only was it balanced, but kiyam lahoya adam sibel l'rav l'chisaron shebo. Wasn't his fault. He didn't bring about the problems. So it's easier to overcome them, because they weren't flaws in him. They weren't flaws that he created. They weren't outgrowths of his own flaws, of his own being messed up. But see, also Hashem wanted to do the best possible way of bonding with him, which is to have bechira and to choose, etc., etc., etc. That's why there was bia in the bria. But he made b'meshe yosra asul minara. So all he had to do was make that choice of these two equally balanced forces struggling for him. So we're not sure yet who he is, but the Tzitzolim Yetzirah struggling for control of this person. The yifnal atol, so. There was no need for death, and of course no need for Tchias HaMesim, and no need for, it's not clear, but maybe one could say no need for 6,000 years of human history with all what the world has undergone in 6,000 years, moving, getting close to 6,000. It's not clear what, you know, it seems that way. There wouldn't have been a need for any, there would have been no population in the world, there would have been just Adam. It's okay, we're not going there. But now that he messed up, through him, he brought down these flaws into the Bria. So now the Shlemus is flawed much more than before, both in terms of Tamus quantitatively and Echos qualitatively. He did it. He messed up. Now it's not so easy anymore. Lotus v'hachi sar v'liknas hashleimus kamo shahoyo ba'es shelo hoyo hu gromos chesrono,
where he wasn't the cause of his flaws. Elashakach notzer mehikaro. That's how he was created. The kamo shahoyo. The kosh gain. And now he says that other svarai said that you can't skip a rung in the ladder. So it's harder and more arduous if we'd be taking a test. The Ramchal is describing three reasons of the difficulty of achieving Shleimus after the Chet of Adam Arishon. One is that the physical and the Bria is no longer in balance with the spiritual, but it's overwhelmingly physical, and we have to overcome that much more in order to have the Neshama catch on fire and be cleaned off from the mud that it finds itself in. Number two is because he created the problems, it's that much harder to climb out of it. And C, you first have to get back to where you were. Right? If you're at an ideal weight, but you want to lose, not ideal, you know, 5 pounds overweight. I know by women that's like a disaster. Okay. 5 pounds overweight. So you want to lose the weight. But then if you slip off and now you're 10 pounds overweight, you have to first get back to where you were and then move on with your program. It's not like, you know, you just have to do double the work. It's like a principle in the running of the universe. You have to achieve the balance that was there previously, and then move on as you wanted to. Mankind and the world has to return. You first have to go back to that. So now, and really that's Sur Meirah Basein Tov, right? Now we have to struggle to get rid of our overwhelmingly physical beings. And physical, by the way, doesn't have to mean just actual physical, but things like Ka'as and Midos Ra'os. This is also physical. It involves the physical world, because we want to get ahead. And we want to beat the other guy, and we don't have bitachon. So these are all physical things that are connected to this world. So that's Ches. Now we'll start paragraph 9, Tes. Not only do you have these three problems, like it's very depressing, not only do you have these three problems, but the physicality is irredeemable, which means there has to be death. Now, when we read the story of the Chumash, so we read it as a punishment. But the Ramchal is not a punishment. This is the way it has to be. The Chet caused such physicality in the person and in the Bria that there has to be a period where the body actually decomposes and loses its physicality. Like you plant a seed. Maybe before the chait, you could plant the seed and it grew into a tree. And now it has to decompose first and just get destroyed. Then you come back and you see a big tree, but it first has to be destroyed. Maybe that's part of the problem. Anyway, so that's why there's Misa and Tchias HaMesim. And it's true in the world. After 6,000 years, the Gemara says, we don't know exactly what it means, but the world will be destroyed, and a new world will be created. The new world will be the world where the neshama, which has been resting, you know, it's a stopover. The Ramchal's view of the Olam Haba that we go to after death, we call it Olam Haba, but it's not really the Olam Haba. We don't have the direct flight anymore. There's a stopover. Stopover while the body is decomposing, is called Gan Eden, or Olam. Yeah, there's different words are used, but according to the Ramchal, there's different words used, and just the main thing is to understand the concept that according to the Ramchal, the neshama is in a holding pattern, in a waiting pattern, and it's waiting for Tchias HaMeisim, and the ultimate La'adu L'Neitzach Nitzachim is the Guf and the neshama reunite. The Guf is a spiritualized Guf. It might not even look like what we see when we look in the mirror now, but there is some physicality that is charged with spirituality to the degree that we did the work in Olam Hazeh. There's no freebies. To the degree that we overcame, and again, it's much harder to overcome, but to the degree to which we overcame our physical needs and urges and desires in Olam Hazeh, and we pumped up, we charged up the neshama, and then the neshama went to, we'll call it Olam HaNeshamos, while the body was decomposing. The neshama has a vacation in the vacation land. It's waiting, right? So it had a vacation. We don't know what it does there. It learns Torah. It gets charged up, like in the airports. You see, they have these stations where you plug in your phone and it gets charged up. So the neshama is getting charged up for its ultimate work of spiritualizing the guf, which will happen after Tchias HaMeisim. So that's what he says in paragraph 9. Besides all of this, the more arduous and the more difficult and etc. that I described, the world or mankind cannot reach shleimus anymore, no matter what you do, in its present form. It just can't, right? It gets muddied, it's dirtied, it's sullied, and you really can't cleanse it. It has to decompose before it could grow, like a seed. Matzmiach Yeshua, we say in Shmona Esrei. It mamish it grows. Hashem is Matzmiach Yeshua. So it decomposes, and you see, and it's nothing's going to grow before it decomposes, right? Say, why not? It's even better. Look, it didn't even decompose. It gets destroyed. It disintegrates into nothingness. Except that the power to grow is there. And it has to shed the physicality of the seed in order to have that koach to grow. That's just a marshal, obviously, because we're talking about spirituality. It has to undergo a period of destruction. It's like a crucible. It has to go through the fire. It has to be able to receive the spirituality which the neshama is waiting to imbue it with, so it mamish can't in the present state. It's just too much mud is there. It's too much mud, too much choshech, too much physical. And when you read about or you heard about that there were certain people that lo mesu, like Eliyahu Hanavi, maybe Chanoch, Atana in the Gemara, maybe lo mesu, it means they didn't have to undergo this. They didn't have to undergo mesu. When you hear stories maybe about tzaddikim whose gufim do not decompose, maybe it's also such a idea that their bodies do not have to decompose. The truth is, we, in our small cells, experience sometimes. A person, let's say, is very... We know when we're magushim, you know, when we're eating, you know, when we're doing very, very physical things. And we feel it, like you feel your body more. You feel, and when we're, that's why you fast Yom Kippur, you know? When you're fasting, or you're, even without fasting, you just, even Shabbos, if you take Shabbos the right way, and you enjoy Shabbos with the food and everything, and there's Zmiros, and
talk the Torah at the table. You know, the body, I think we experience that a little, but the body, we don't feel so physical. We feel uplifted, we call it, inspired, uplifted. It's a drop in the bucket compared to what will be lost at level, of course. And it's a far cry from what Adam would have experienced if he wouldn't have been Chote. But maybe we can have an inkling of what we're talking about, because we do feel more physical when we're physical. And we feel less physical when we're more spiritual. Even the physical feels, doesn't feel so heavy. Like, we don't feel so bogged down by our bodies. I think we experience that at times. Like a glimpse of what could have been and what will be, Bezus Hashem, if we in this world charge up the neshama to do the work that it has to do. But we have now Misa, the Hainu Amisa, the Odom, the Hefsen, the Chol Shor, Hahovim, Shinskal, Kuluimo. It really, everything gets destroyed. The world will be destroyed. Lotucha HaNeshama Lezake Chaguf, this is what Ramchal saying, the neshama cannot purify, spiritualize the guf. It has to leave first. Guf gets put in the ground. The yomus haguf, he posed. For us, yachso v'yibon binyan chadosh. Then it gets reborn, and it's more spiritual, and it's charged up by the neshama. And it purifies it. The whole world. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but the physicality of the world as we know it will be destroyed. Because the world, as I say, just follows along with the person. The person is the main player. And everything else is just the play. It's just the settings. It's just the background. It's just the props. Everything else is a prop. So the props, if a person messes up, the props go with it. If a person grows, the props grow. Valkei nigzal adam sheyomus. So again, Ramchal is really explaining misal sa'odam not as a punishment, but as an unfortunate consequence of his chayt, so the body now has to decompose. V'yachzor v'yichya v'winyan tchias ha-meisim v'ala olam, the whole world she'yichore v'yachzor v'yichudash, it will be reborn in a different state. Here it's harder for me to, you know, to v'winyan ma'ashomru chachomim einu z'chonon l'vracha shita alfei shona ha-vi'alma v'chad chorev, it will be destroyed. It will be 1,000 years where it will be decomposing like a seed. Let's go on to paragraph 10. V'hinei l'fi shorish zeh, according to what I'm establishing here, the reality that I'm describing, says the Ramchal, zman ha-gemul ho-amiti, we talked about the workplace and the ideal conditions of the workplace and state-of-the-art machines, and then vacation land, schar, which is also ideal, but the different kind of ideal. A vacation spot that's perfect doesn't have state-of-the-art computers or state-of-the-art whatever. I mean, it looks differently. It has Olympic-sized swimming pool, 24-hour tea room. It just looks different. So Olam Haba is like completely different than Olam Hazeh. Tainuzman kibul haschash of the chano lamalo umakomo. So the main place of Sachar Atchia. This is Ramchal's view, and it's really the view of most Rishonim, most famously not the Rambam, but most Rishonim, I think if you did sort of a head count, the Ramchal was much later than the Rishonim, but most Rishonim indicate the way the Ramchal sees things, that Tchias HaMeisim is the ultimate.
The Rambam?
What do you want to mix yourself up for? The Rambam holds that the La'adu L'Neitzach Nitzachim has no physical whatsoever, just Neshama. And there will be a brief, he holds the temporary period is after Tchias HaMeisim. That's the temporary period. And the Netzach is just the Neshama. The Ramchal almost vehemently rejects that and says certainly the Nitzchias of Tzchar and the bonding with Hashem is going to go to the Guf also. The Guf says, hey, I did all the work. And the Neshama gets all the Tzchar, I did all the work. Something's not fair there. So the Ramchal has that. That's not the reason. So Zman HaGul HaMidah that we described, and Zman HaGul HaMidah that we described, we have the Tchias HaMeisim, Ba'olam Sheyiz Chadesh, Ba'odam Yehone Bo B'gufo V'Nishmaso, he'll be Nehenna, not physically, he'll be Nehenna Miziv HaShchina, the way the Psal Sesharim describes, right? Ba'olam Lo Nivra El L'Sanag Al Hashem, there'll be some sort of spiritual pleasure, which will affect the guf, this newly charged, spiritualized guf, together with the neshama. Ubios gufo mezukach al yedei neshmaso. Umuchan al yodol liosnene betuvahu. The guf will be able to appreciate and benefit from this spiritual pleasure that is there because of its bonding with Hashem. Now, so far he described everything as if everybody, like everybody's the same. And now he just has to put in a caveat. He says, you know, there are billions of people in the world, and there have been billions of people since Adam Harishon to today, and everybody's different, and everybody has a different task, and everybody has a different struggle. And just because we talk now about Claudius, so it might sound like everybody has the same job to do, but very much not so. Everybody's job is different. Everybody has to overcome different aspects of physicality. And physicality is midos also. Whether it's taiva, kinna, kavod, all the things that we learn about in Chazal Halavos, in the Sil Sesharim, in Shari Tshuva, all the midos roles and all the desires that people have and their inadequacies in spirituality. Every person is different, and every neshama is different, and every neshama was sent down to this world to struggle with a different struggle than the guy next to him. And you can't judge. Chazal Halavos makes this point. That's why you really can't be judgmental of another person, because you don't know that person's. You can be judgmental of his deeds. You always have to speak that out, because people need to hear it. If someone Mechal Shabbos, you can be judgmental of his deeds. We know it's bad to be Mechal Shabbos. But we can't be judgmental of the person. We could take steps not to let our children be friends with him, let's say, because but you can't say that guy is a terrible Rasha. We don't know. Maybe his Nisayon in life is not to smoke. And he refrains from smoking on Shabbos. That's his thing. You know? Or maybe he makes Kiddush. We don't know. So that's what the Chazal Halavos says, this and that. Every neshama has its own struggles. We only say that because if the person was born, again, every person has their own Bechira. This is why the Mitzvah Melio on Bechira is very, very important. Every person has their own Nekudas HaBechira, as the Mitzvah Melio puts it. And the robber is struggling if he should kill the person or not, or just rob him. He's not struggling with robbery. He was born into a nest of robbers, and that's how they make their living. It never occurred to him to not rob. And it works the other way too for the good, right? It never occurred to us to openly steal. It never occurred to us to openly be Mechal Shabbos. Right? Our struggles are more subtle. Right, on a different level, on a different plane, for the most part. But if everybody's different, and everybody's only Hashem could judge any person if they've succeeded or not in their struggle. So that's what he says in the next paragraph. Ulam yibochnu shomo anoshim. Right, everybody's going to be. It's going to be clarified there, tested, clarified, understood. Everybody will be different. Right? Now he's just saying, based on how much you accomplished here, will be your reward in Olam HaBa. Your neshama will have the charge to charge up the guf based on how much you charge the neshama here in this world. As much shleimus as we've achieved, that will be the shleimus that the guf will have lanetzach. Right, we talk about, think of the neshama as a light, a bright light, and it's lighting up the darkness, it's cleaning off the guf from its impurities, it's cleaning off the guf from the mud that it, the boots, the mud that was thrown into the mud. So the neshama now is cleaning it up, but how much koach does the neshama have to clean it up? As much koach as it has, and that's as much koach as you gave it in this world, how much you charged up the neshama to be a purifying agent, and then it purifies the guf to that degree. The Torah b'guf u'dusak chehu. V'yiknu shneim yikor v'mala, and then they both acquire this fantastic v'ingnenem yiziv hashchina. The Uruyim v'hiskarei v'l'odon baruchu v'le'or b'orpona v'le'honos b'tuvo ho'amiti. So everything is dependent on what. There's no automatic tickets here. Everything, he didn't talk about that yet. He will talk about it later in the Sefer. Certainly the homosexual Sisharim is devoted to that. I am the one that determines how much my neshama will energize my guf. He's just talking in theory the way things are supposed to work, but now I determine, right? I could charge up my neshama only a 10% charge. I could charge it up a 90% charge. Maybe I can charge it up, about 100% charge. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was at 100, or others. I could charge it up as much as I can. Like, why would I settle for anything less? But I'm the one that's determining my status in Olam Haba. I'm the one that's determining how much my neshama will be able to purify my guf. V'omnam, paragraph Yud Aleph. B'yoshe nigzra amisa la'odam chmosha zacharnu. Okay, so I have to die for a while. V'nimtza shahamur kafazeh, this unbelievable combination, the shidduch of the guf and the neshama, they have to separate for a while. Right? A trial separation, they have to separate for a while until they come back together. That's what happens by Misa. The neshama goes to where it goes, call it Olam HaNeshamos, and the guf goes into the grave. And then they reconnect. They'll recognize each other, I assume. They'll reconnect. So he says, every Hashem only those things in an ideal way. So the guf is in its ideal place, the kever. It's ideal for it at this point in its existence because it's decomposing and losing all the blockages, all the obstacles are being cleared out while the guf decomposes, and the neshama is in the best place for it to be in this holding pattern. So he explains, v'nei haguf tzorach sheyachzor liyosodo. It has to go back to its roots. The tiporet harkavoso, and everything falls apart. The tipose tzuroso, and everything falls apart. Hoyol v'hoyim an ofer elov yoshuv u'mashami sparshmo v'odom ki ofer atom el ofer toshuv. Achaneshama azocha b'ma'aseho, assuming that there is going to be a purification of the guf to some degree by this neshama. I made it by the skin of my teeth. So it has to wait around. We got to get a comfortable place for the neshama to be while it's waiting for the guf to decompose. Now, I don't know why the neshamas in early part of history have to wait more than the neshamas in the later part of history. I don't know if there's any time by the neshamas. I don't know if they think of it that way. How come I had to wait longer? Right? I was in the door of Avraham Avinu, so I have to wait like 4,000 years for my body to finish decomposing. That's not very fair. Some people only are going to have to wait a week. How come I have to wait? So maybe it's deserved, maybe there's other cheshbonos. He'll talk about that later in the Sefer. Right now his point is the neshama needs a place to be while it's, you got to give it a comfortable, you can't sit in the lobby, you got to be in the King David lounge. You can't just wait around waiting for the goof to be finished, waiting for the world to be finished. I don't know if it really needs a place, because you're not dealing with a physical thing. So I don't know what the word place means. It's not a physical place, obviously, but it needs to be in a certain state while it's waiting. It can't just wait. There's no such thing. I'm doing nothing. I'm killing time by waiting for the next bus. There's no such thing. It's terrible. You know, you don't attack a killing time is a very good description. So they have a makom, a conceptual makom, a real makom, it doesn't matter, to be recharged. And there they experience a taste of what they're ultimately going to experience when they have the ultimate bonding with Hashem. So they have a taste of it.
How is that? Because you say like lo hameitim yahalucha, you know, and the people in the grave cannot accomplish anything. So what is the neshama actually able to do?
According to the Ramchal, it's tchias hameitim, it'll do. The neshama will do to the goof after tchias hameisim. In the interim period, the neshama is being nehenem miziv hashchina, in a similar way to what it will be nehenem miziv hashchina when it's back together with the goof. So it's getting a smorgasbord. Having a smorgasbord. The main meal is when tchias hameisim happens, and right now it's getting a little taste of what it's like to bond with Hashem. It's getting a taste of that pleasure. That's how he puts it. When it gets its true reward, when it's bonded with the guf. And there also, everybody's different. You're going to look at someone else's neshama, and they're going to be in a much more pleasurable state. You say, that's not fair. It's very fair. Everything is measured according to what we accomplish in this world. He didn't present it yet that way because he's not giving Musa yet. But certainly everything lasid lavo that he's talking about is different by every single person of the billions and billions and billions of people that there are and that there were and that there will be. And everything is exactly measured to what that person did in his or her life. Certainly, that's what determines that. So he says, they will be measured according to what they did in this world. So too will the reward be measured. But it's just a taste of it. The real reward, the real bonding is only after Tzchias HaMeisim and the Ramchal, when the Neshama and Guf get back together. They reap the reward that they did together. So they reap the reward together, lots of love.